According to a new Pew Research Center report, young people are more likely to call their parents' house home than they are to be living with a spouse or a partner. We will talk about why, for the first time in the modern era, living with parents edges out other living arrangements for millennials. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will also wonder if you are one of them. Are you a millennial living at home? And why are you living at home, at your parents' home? Are you the parent of a millennial living at home? How is that working for you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Adam Ozimek, an economist and assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies as well as U.S. labor markets and demographics. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. I know we talked before about millennials living at home. According to this newer Pew Research report, young adults in the U.S. are more likely to be living with their parents than with a parent or, I'm sorry, with a partner or a spouse. What's primarily driving this?
Well, it's a lot of factors. What's really interesting about this Pew report is how far back in time it goes. It uses data all the way back to 1880. So
wow.
It's really interesting how it shows how this is a really long run trend. Some of what we're seeing here, especially since 1960, we've really sort of seen the share of people living with homes start to increase. And one of the other big factors is that we're seeing the share of people, young people who are getting married, is going down. And that turns out to be one of the bigger drivers of what's going on here.
Yes, a lot of baby boomers might remember that they got married, maybe even right out of high school, and now that's not happening with millennials. What is it, like 26 or even older than that is the average age of marriage now?
It's 27 for women and 29 for men, and back in the 60s it would have been around 20 and 22.
Yeah, so, that's still, so why aren't they living on their own or, living with that partner rather than living with the parents?
Well, some of them are. I mean, we haven't seen a complete decline. We still have 28% of men and 35% of young women are married or cohabitating with a partner. And you have 35% and 29% of men and women that are living at home with their parents. So it's not that everyone's living at home and no one's getting married. You just sort of had this change in trend, and people wait longer to get married for a variety of social and economic reasons, and that delay is something that's been slowly happening for the last 60 years.
So why are millennials waiting longer to get married?
Well, I think one factor is it's easier to get divorced now than it used to be, and it's more socially acceptable to get divorced now than it used to be. And I think a lot of young people look at the experience of their parents, and when divorce was rising through the 70s and 80s, and they realize, it's better to wait, and if you can wait, then you're more likely to find someone you're going to last with, and you're less likely to get a divorce. So young people still want to be married. The surveys show that you haven't really seen a decline in the people who want to eventually be married. They still take the institution of marriage very seriously. I think they're just being a little pickier, a little choosier, and waiting longer, this coincides with it being more socially acceptable to live at home, and so they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, well, good for them in terms of making sure that this might be right. What other factors are, though, playing a role in the trend of more millennials living at home with their parents rather than with a partner or a spouse? What other factors are playing into it?
So other than the social and kind of developing alongside the social is economic factors. It used to be the case that a young person right out of high school, could find a fairly well-paying job in, you know, the 60s and 70s especially, this was true. But now that's become harder. You kind of need to go to college, and it takes longer to build up the experience to get a relatively well-paying job. And so those worse labor market opportunities for young people is making it, you know, more desirable to live at home and save. And that's also sort of pushing one of the factors that's pushing back marriage as well. It's much, much easier to, you know, get married and move out and live on your own if you have a really well-paying job right away. But if you've got to wait a few years, then, you know, that makes you push back both decisions.
Yeah. What about, how does student loan debt factor into this?
I don't think student loan debt is as big of a deal as some people think. I mean, you still have people who went to college have higher, are more likely to live on their own and get married, and people who didn't go to college who have no student loan debt are more likely to live at home. So college makes it easier for you to move out by increasing your salary. And student loan debt, I mean, the average student loan debt has gone up, but a lot of that has to do with, you know, the top 5% of people who are going to really expensive schools, really expensive Ivy League schools, and taking on $100,000 or $200,000 in debt, and that really pushes up the average. But for most people, most college students, the student debt still remains relatively modest, something closer to like $20,000, $25,000. So it's not, it's the statistics are sort of skewed by those few people with really big amounts of debt. And those people, by the way, you know, tend to go on to pretty high-paying professions as well. So they're doing okay.
So how does this compare historically? Have there been times historically where we've seen a similar trend?
Yeah, that's what's really interesting about this Pew data is it helps us look back farther than we normally do, and we can see that the share of people living at home is actually not that far from historical precedent. So from the late 1800s to around the mid 1900s, this is about what it was: 35% for men and about 30% for women. This was usually what you saw. It was only in the 1960s when the share of people living at home with their parents went down. So the share of people living at home really isn't that, in the long run, historically abnormal. The bigger change has been that fewer people are getting married. And that's something that now we are at historically low levels. We're at levels that are below anything seen as far back as the data go. So really it's living at home has become slightly more common than in the last 30 years, but it's really back to sort of a historical norm. It's the marriage rates that have relatively fallen off really sharply.
That's interesting. So, but paint us a picture. Who are the millennials who are living at home? More men, more women? You know, what? Who are the millennials who are more likely to be living at home right now?
Sure. So one thing is that you look across all groups, basically every demographic group, you do see an uptick recently. So everyone is sort of living at home more than they used to, but there are certainly some groups that are living home more than others. Men tend to live at home more than women do. That's also because they tend to get married later. So that's one factor. You have people who only have a high school degree tend to live at home more than people who have a college degree. And you have African Americans tend to live at home more often, and so do Hispanics. So you have these differences between groups that are important, but overall, the trend over time is similar across these groups.
And I'm looking at a headline here, anyway, that this trend is not just in the U.S. It's abroad as well. That young adults are living with their parents. So it's not just millennials in the U.S., but it says in especially in Southern and Eastern Europe. So same situation going on there?
Yeah, definitely. And there, it's in some of those places, it's really extreme. And in Italy, young people, it's something like 4 out of 5 young people still live at home with their parents. So when in the U.S., we have 1 out of 3. So that's it's much more extreme over there. And they've also seen, you know, the same uptick that we have. And in a lot of ways, the changing labor market conditions for young people is sort of a technological thing, and it's about changing industry structure and globalization, and you know those trends are affecting countries all over the place. So it's not just us.
Well, let me wonder if I'm again. I don't mean to sound like my dad or my mom, but back in my day, my parents I think kind of pushed us out of the nest a little bit more in terms of, hey, you know, move out, go get a job, go to college, you know, get out of the house. Are we now saying, hey, to our own kids, we don't want to do that to you. Stay home with us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably some of that too. I think, you know, anecdotally at least, you can hear from older generations who like having their kids around, and I'm sure that that's affecting some people. And then, you know, on the other hand, I'm sure there are other parents who would like to get their kids out of the basement and like to see them, you know, sort of start their own lives and become more dependent. We don't really have any good survey evidence to show whether we've had big changes there or not, but you can certainly look around and find examples of both.
Well, you know, I mean, and talk a little bit about that, too. That is the stereotype, I think, that we have, that it's, you know, some 25-year-old guy playing, you know, video games on a sofa in the basement. That's not really what's going on, though, is it?
No, I don't think there are enough 25-year-old guys who just want to sit in the basement and play video games. We're talking about, for men, it's 35%. So those numbers, that's pretty high. It's too much to just be, you know, only slackers.
But I guess I was wondering, and maybe it is just anecdotal, we don't know if parents today, for example, my producer Brianne says that her family was very encouraging when, briefly after college, she moved home. Mom and Dad wanted her to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be a way to save up. It can be a way to, you know, spend more time with your family. If you're, you know, a lot of young people move away, and it can be a little gap between college and adulthood that people value. So, you know, to the extent that it's being driven by a bad economy, I think we want to try to help undo that. But you know, you're always going to have some people doing this, and some people enjoy it, both the parents and the kids. And I think it's, you know, if people value it, that's okay.
We are talking about the living arrangements of millennials and talking about this recent Pew Research Center report that finds that more millennials are living home with their parents than they are living with a spouse or a partner. And we're talking about why that is and whether it matters. Wondering what your situation is like. Are you a millennial living at home with your parents? How's that going? Why did you choose that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Are you a millennial living at home with your parents? Why is that? Are you the parent of a millennial living at home? Do you think this is a good thing or a not so good thing? What do you think of more young people living at home with their parents today than in the past, for the most part? At least more are calling their parents' house home than they are living with a spouse or a partner, according to this recent Pew Research Center report. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Lots more to talk about, but a lot of callers, too. I'm happy to report that we have a lot of millennials calling in. Philip in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Jean. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead. And it's all right, Philip, but Joy is my name. That's
my Joy. My apologies. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I'm glad that, you know, this is the topic of your show today. You know, thinking about, you know, the trend that we've seen in individuals of my generation, you know, living at home, larger numbers of them and for longer periods of time, I got to say, I am one of those hardworking millennials that I guess people seem to forget about when they, you know, conceptualize the laziness of my generation. I work two jobs, you know, anywhere between 10, 13 hours a day. When I'm home over the summer, I work throughout the school year, and I'm going to be graduating next May. And I would just like to point out to individuals that, you know, aren't in my situation that if I were to try to strike it out on my own right now, I would be able to feasibly sustain myself in an apartment, a cheap apartment in Waukesha, for a couple of months before I would begin having to ask my parents for money, before I would have to begin going to the food bank. I mean, the fact of the matter is, even with the income I'm bringing in, which is really, really good, and even accounting for the fact that I'm living at home and I still have assistance from my parents with my living situation and occasionally financially when I need it, it's not necessarily possible to simply graduate from high school or college, get a job, and immediately, you know, become independent. For a lot of people, myself included, coming even from an upper middle class background, that simply isn't feasible. Without that interim period living at home and being able to accumulate some money, you can't move out of the home. That's what I've encountered, and, you know, other individuals I know that work as much and as long as I do and as hard as I do, I guess, you know, barring being able to live at home and accumulate some wealth and some money, you know, would end up not being able to find living arrangements. You would end up kicked out of your house, or you would end up, you know, on the streets because you wouldn't be able to make payments.
Yeah, excellent point, to Philip. Thank you for calling. Our guest is Adam Ozimek. He's an economist and assistant director for Moody's Analytics. And Adam, here's Philip, who says, "Hey, the cost of living is preventing him right now. He's working two jobs. I guess still going to school too, but he wouldn't be able to strike out on his own just yet because of the cost of living. What about that?"
Yeah, well, I mean, what really matters is the wages compared to the cost of living. I mean,
right.
Certainly there are a lot of categories of expenses that are much cheaper than they used to be compared to, you know, the 1960s and even farther back than our day to go. I mean, if you're talking about food, for example, food is cheaper every year. It's as a share of our budget. So that's something that it's hard to look at that and say that cost is pushing people to live at home. Housing has gone up in expense, but really it's more so the income side of things than the expense side of things. And, you know, this is one reason why a lot of young people will live with roommates, and, you know, certainly one reason why it's more affordable if you are married or cohabitating with a partner. You know, it's easier to afford that if you've got two earners or multiple earners in the household.
Yeah, it is. What does the job market look like today for millennials?
Well, you've got you've got some short-term recovery from the recession that's still yet to be wrung out of the system. The unemployment rate has fallen a lot over the last few years, but it has room to improve. And then in the longer term, you have even when, you know, things get back to full employment and the economy's really heated up, you still have fewer job opportunities for young people, lower starting wages for young people. So I think we have a little bit of room of improvement, and things have improved, but you're not going to get back to the 1960s, 1970s when that first job was really, really well paying.
It was. I'm trying to remember my first job. But what about, do we know how many millennials have jobs percentage-wise, or what the unemployment rate is for the millennial generation?
For young people with a college degree, it's relatively higher. For people without a college degree, I'm sorry, for college-educated people, it's lower. People without a college degree, it's higher. Young people tend to have a higher unemployment rate than older people. I don't have the number right off the top of my head, but those are the general trends.
Yeah. This was a very long time ago, but I do remember. I do work in broadcasting, by the way, which is one of the notoriously lower-paid industries. And my first job out of college was less than $12,000 a year. Now, maybe at that time that bought a lot more, but not really. I couldn't believe I was being paid to do this. Daniel in Milwaukee is with us next. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, Joy?
Good.
So my, as a millennial, my time spent at home, was brief, maybe 6 months between, when I got out of the Army and then bought a home. But But I would like to comment in defense of millennials. You know, our parents are baby boomers, and, you know, they got married young. They bought homes young with, you know, little to no money down and, you know, high interest rates. And then a lot of them got divorced. A lot of them lost jobs and were tied to a 30-year mortgage and couldn't move for work and ended up taking lower paid jobs just to stay in the area so they wouldn't, you know, have to get foreclosed on. Their standards of living went down. Their anxiety about money went up. And honestly, it's, you know, as kids, we see that in our relatively suburban communities. And so I think people want to avoid those mistakes. And so, you know, we look at getting married later. We look at, you know, trying to complete college and put away money so that we can find the best possible job, even if it's not in this state or even in this, you know, piece of the country. Now, and I joined the Army, and I spent almost a decade there and ended up with a good job as a result of that. But I think that millennials are doing things the right way. And personally, I hope that when my daughters, who are both very young, are a little older, that they choose to stay at home, whether they're going to school or starting an entry-level career right out of high school, until they have the security and certainty to move out, so that they can get ahead faster. And that's what families in the rest of the world do all the time and have for generations.
Yeah, what about that, Adam?
Yeah, I think that's one reason why it's important that we, you know, policymakers try to do what they can to make the economy better for young people. But, you know, pushing people out of houses or out of their parents' houses is not necessarily something you want to directly target. You want people to have the option, the choice, the economic ability to do so. But, you know, as the caller said, there's good reason sometimes to stay home a little longer and to be more cautious and to save. And so it's hard to, you know, look at that and objectively say, you know, we need to push more people out of their parents' homes. It's more like let's do what we can so that they have the options to do that if they want to.
We are talking about why so many millennials are calling their parents' house home. According to this recent Pew Research Center report, young adults in the U.S. Who live with their parents is at the highest rate it has been at since the Great Depression. We are talking about why this is and what factors lead to it, and we'll talk some about the broader implications. Does this matter? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We welcome your thoughts, your questions about why young people are living at home. Did you live with your parents as a young adult? Are you the parent of a millennial living at home? What do you think of this? Is this something you want? Are you a millennial who is living at home? Why did you choose to do so? We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Adam Ozimek, an economist and assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies. And I wanted to ask about the broader economic impact of this trend of young people staying with their parents longer or in larger numbers than in the recent past. Adam, are there any negative effects to this?
Yeah, I mean, the decision to move out and to form your own household is a really economically important decision that has a lot of, you know, spillovers in the economy. You have you know, it coincides with the purchase or the rent of a house. So, you know, as more young people move out, that tends to boost the demand for housing and create construction jobs. People buy furniture and other appliances and durable goods, and there again, you have sort of spillovers in the economy. So one of the sort of missing pieces of the puzzle in this recovery has been, you know, weakness in the housing market, or, you know, a relatively slow recovery. So to the extent that people are, you know, staying home longer and not forming their own households, that's definitely something that is contributing to the slower housing recovery. Now, on the other hand, if they're saving up for future spending, that's not necessarily a bad thing in the long run. But, it certainly has short-run implications.
So are there any positive effects?
Yeah, I mean, the savings is certainly a good thing that contributes to economic growth in the long run. And if it means fewer foreclosures, and if it gives young people more mobility to choose where they want to live and what they want to do, those are positive effects too.
Yeah, and this is a pretty big generation, isn't it? And if they're going to be getting into stable marriages, and they're going to be having some savings, and they're going to be making, I mean, I'm just thinking, what does this foretell for the future of our economy?
Yeah, I mean, there's pluses and there's minuses to that. I mean, there's, you know, when people are more risk averse, when they're unlikely to take risks, that can be a good thing. It can be a more stable economy. It can mean less, you know, disruption in people's lives. But, you know, some amount of risk taking is a good thing. Yeah. You know, that contributes to economic growth. You want people who are willing to go out on a limb, and people who are willing to make, you know, investments and start their own businesses. And so probably overall, a little bit more aversion to risk is a good thing in the long run, considering, you know, we just witnessed a very big recession that was a result of too much risk taking. So I think that'll probably be a positive thing in the long run, but it might mean it might mean a few negative effects along the way.
Deb on Facebook says, in 1975, when we graduated from college, there was a recession and there were tons of baby boomers graduating. Did we run home to mommy and daddy? No. We crammed into tiny apartments and worked as waitresses until we could find that teaching job. We had beat up cars and no TVs. We not only survived, we thrived. Spoiled babies now need their own bathrooms, TVs, phones, cars, and high-paying jobs. Also, we had siblings at home, so there was no room for us. We're not Now parents have houses with extra rooms, so it makes it easier. Well, a couple of different things there. But how about that, you know, back in the 70s or even early 80s, you know, there was bad economic times then. And, you know, baby boomers claim that they, you know, they you know, got crummy jobs and lived in crummy apartments and made do.
Well, some of them did. And some of them lived at home with their parents. I mean, that's the nice thing about this data. We can look back and see that, you know, somewhere between around a quarter of young people back then still live with their parents, and now it's more like a third. So it's a change in behavior somewhat, but it's not like everyone back in the 1970s moved out when they were 19 and started their own households. You still definitely had a lot of young people who lived at home. And, you know, the economy was worse, but when you look at 20 to 24 year olds and you know, most of these age groups, they were more employed back then. A higher share of them had jobs back in the late 70s than they do now.
Yeah, interesting. Repeat that data. So the baby boomers were also going home to mom and dad, but maybe not quite as in larger numbers, but quite a few of them did, you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. So men were around, 25% of men lived at home with their parents, and for women it was closer to around 20%. In the 70s. So that's still a sizable proportion who went home and lived with their parents in their 18 to 34 year old years.
Let's go to Angela. Oops, I wonder if we have that caller. No, I guess we don't have that caller. All of a sudden it dropped off. Casey in Darlington is with us. Hi, Casey.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, I guess my comment would be that I think with the growth of the internet and just open lines of communication, that there's has just been a growth of introspection, and that kind of makes us think about, do we really want to get any job? And maybe staying at home allows us to kind of view our options better. I guess that's pretty much it.
I'm sorry, Casey, so that millennials just won't take any job?
Right, and that's due to, I guess, viewing things in terms of happiness rather than monetary values.
Is that different today, you think, Adam, that that they want to be happier and you know, do what they love and not just do something to get by?
Well, that's a hard thing to quantify, but you definitely still have, you know, millennials still want to be married someday. They still, we know that from surveys at least, so they're not just content to sit at home forever. And I think you have to look at not just what people want, but the way the economy is changing and the way job opportunities are changing. So, you know, younger people used to go out and get, you know, it was easier to go out and get a 9-to-5 manufacturing job that had a relatively healthy starting pay. And the reason young people aren't doing that now, the reason they're not getting manufacturing jobs is because those jobs aren't there. And so you have to look at both what people want and what's available to them. And I think both, there's room for both to play a part. But, yeah, it's hard to know whether just a higher preference for leisure time, more wanting to, you know, stay home, whether those preferences are what's driving it or not. That's a hard thing to measure.
We are talking with Adam Ozimek, who is an economist, assistant director for Moody's Analytics, where he covers state and regional economies, as well as U.S. labor markets and demographics. Talking with him about this new Pew Research Center report, finding that more millennials are living at home with their parents. And we're talking about why this is. We're exploring the economic factors behind this and how it compares historically. And we're welcoming your questions and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about millennials and their living arrangements and welcoming your questions and your examples of living arrangements. Are you a millennial living at home right now? Tell us why or why not. Are you the parent of a millennial living at home? How is that for you? Do you think it's a good trend or a bad trend? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jim in Door County is with us. Hello, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joy. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Excellent. Yeah, I just want to give my comment. I'm in my 50s, so I've had 7 kids. The 4 older ones are out of the house or 18. Of those 4, one individual went to the Air Force, came out of the Air Force, and he came back to our house for about 9 months, and we helped him out to get back on his feet. So I think that was a good thing for him. The 4th son, he's actually on summer break from Moody. He's up here in Door County, and he's living back with us for the summer. But he's out there hustling, doing some landscaping, doing some work out there, you know, trying to make some money for himself for school. But as far as a parent, I think it's a great thing, really. It should be a great privilege to have your adult son or daughter come back and for you to help them out. So I think most parents should just kind of be thankful of that. I would agree that if you have a child that just comes back and kind of just sits around and is not seeking a job or not seeking to go out there and work and make something of themselves, then that could be a difficult thing.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. And
you're welcome, Joy.
Have a good summer with some of your kids there. That's right. Interesting. So his kids are not the ones that have come back are not on the sofa playing games. They're hustling and landscaping. Adam, do we have any idea of how many are doing something and how many are doing nothing?
Well, we know how many young people are working. At least it's hard to say who's trying to make something themselves versus who's just sitting on the couch playing video games. But we do know about 70% of people ages 20 to 24 are in the labor force, which means they're either working or looking. And it's more like 80% for people who are ages 29 to 34. So that's still a lot of people who are working and looking for work.
Thanks again, Jim. Let's go next to Pat in Appleton. Hello, Pat.
Hi, I'm calling in response to the guy who said in the 70s there was a recession and everyone worked so hard. The cost of living was much different in the 70s. I was in college then. My tuition was $227 to be a full-time student at the University of Wisconsin. Now, everything has gone up considerably, tuition, food, housing, everything except wages are not that much higher than they were at that time. So I know plenty of millennials who are working hard, and some of them have to live at home, and it's smarter to live at home and get ahead than be behind your whole life.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, Adam, and what impact the slower-than-average wage growth is having on this trend.
Sure. So for males, at least, you have wages down about 20% from 1980 to today. So that's a pretty significant fall off. And as the caller noted, things are becoming more expensive over time, even if you know, some prices are moving up slow and some prices are moving up fast. Overall, costs do go up somewhat. So a 20% decline in median wages is a pretty big deal. But it's not the whole story, because we do know that the share living at home has gone up for women. And for women, job market opportunities are better than they used to be in the 70s. So it's certainly part of the story, especially for young men and for some young women, but you have to look at these cultural factors as well.
And those cultural factors, for those just joining us, are the getting married later?
Yep, getting married later, and just, you know, in general, you know, it's more acceptable to stay at home longer. And, you know, like some of these callers have said, you know, some young people are just taking more time with their life decisions.
Let's go to Matt in Pleasant Prairie. Hello, Matt.
Hello. Yeah, kind of dovetailing on what he just said, I'm 44 years old, and when I was in college, there was a stigma attached to anybody that lived at home. And I remember other students saying, you know, as soon as I get out, I'm moving away from home, I'm going to get myself an apartment. And I remember saying, you know what, I was kicked out of my house when I was 18, and I worked my way through college, and I said, stay at home as long as you can, you know, what's the problem with that? But people thought that it was somehow shameful to be living at home. And I think that there's been a shift in that mindset. And also, I think parents are more accepting of that freedom that kids are seeking. In other words, you can have a romantic relationship and still live at home and have your girlfriend or boyfriend or significant other over, and not be interfered with by your parents, whereas at least when I was growing up, that was totally unacceptable. That was not seen as proper by my parents or any of my friends' parents. So,
interesting points. So, there used to be more of a stigma attached to this, do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, that's a hard thing to capture with data, but it, you know, anecdotally, you can certainly look around and see these sorts of changes in how things are perceived and changes in how people see different kinds of life choices. So, I think anecdotally, at least, yeah, that's the way it looks.
Yeah. Ben on Facebook says, as a millennial, I want my 20s to be my odyssey years, trying on new cities as if they are wardrobes. As soon as I find myself, I head to the next place. I don't know where my job or travel urges will take me within a month, let alone the time needed to have a house payoff. Parental arrangements or renting is my only option. So I didn't quite understand that, but I guess in between his trying on new cities as though they're wardrobes, he's home with the rents. Is that what it sounds like to you, Adam?
Yeah, I guess that's what it sounds like for him, saving up some money and then moving around. I don't think that's a big part of the story for most people, because at the same time that you've seen people living at home more, you've actually seen a decline in people's propensity to move to different parts of the country. So people are moving around a lot less than they used to. They're moving less for jobs, and they're you know, they're moving to different states less often. So I don't think that's a big driver that's going on here, but it certainly can be true for some people.
Is there? I didn't know that. So talk a little bit more about that. I thought that young people wanted to go to cool cities in, I don't know, Florida or whatever, arts economy or some knowledge economy city that, you know, they wanted to go to hip cities and they were moving around more for that. They're not?
I mean, it's always been true that young people want to move around, but you definitely still have, you know, migration to cities from young people, which you've always had, but it's less than in the past people are moving. So the rate at which people change from county to county or from state to state has declined across age groups.
Next, we will go to Bill in Madison. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, just a quick thing here. We've been hearing a lot about the end of work, and I'm just wondering whether these young people hearing this story about the loss of half of American jobs within 20 years or so are just thinking, well, there's got to be I'm not going to arrange my life around that that scenario. There are other things to do in life. I'm going to move to Walden Pond or something.
What about that, Adam?
I mean, it's an interesting theory, but I don't think that most people have given up on work entirely. I mean, like I said, you still have more than two thirds of young people are working. So I think those that minority share that aren't working can look around and see that it is still possible to get jobs. And you know, maybe someday machines will come and take all of our jobs. But I think looking around at the economy right now, there's still work out there to be had.
I mean, do you see this trend ending anytime soon based on economic factors? I mean, is the economy picking up enough that jobs will be there and whatever, wages will be higher, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do think we're going to see some stabilization in this for two reasons. One is that, like you said, the economy is improving. Wage growth is going to start picking up a little bit more, and that will help make it easier for people to move out, the better job opportunities. You also have sort of a slowdown in the decline of marriage, and if people who are 20 years old, for example, if their rate of marriage declines over the next 10 years as fast as it did over the last 10 years, then negative 5% of 20-year-olds will get married. So just by the sake of not having much room left to fall, I think we're going to see sort of a bottoming out there. And, you know, across all younger age groups, you sort of see this sort of leveling out. And, you know, I think we'll still see maybe some delay, some further delay of marriage, but I think it's not going to be as big of declines as we've seen in the past. So that's gonna help. And you also have the average age of millennials is going up. So right now the biggest group for millennials is about 25 years old, and they're sort of the biggest number of them is aging, and they're going to go from average of like around 25 years old to closer to 30 years old. And as they move up through those older age groups, you're going to see, you know, those are the ages when they move out and they start to form their own households. So I think as millennials age, as the economy heats up, we're going to see a little bit of a recovery here. I mean, this isn't going to bring us anywhere close to back to 1960s, 1950s levels, but I think we're going to see a little bit of an uptick.
I guess I should have said so in the beginning, but generally the millennials are considered the 18 to 34-year-olds. That's the range?
Yeah, there's a little bit of disagreement around the edges of that, whether it's 18, 16, or 34, 35, but that's the general group.
And what are we going to call their kids?
The next generation, I think some people are calling them Generation Z.
Okay.
We're going back to that terminology.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Generation X and now Generation Z. All right. Anyway, I digress. Marilyn in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, go ahead with your comment.
Interesting show. Well, I'm a landlord, so So I see a sign of this that never before have I seen so many parents calling for their children between the ages of 24 and 29, needing them to kind of move on in their life and get apartments. And I see that because a lot of the moms and dads are remarrying. So what's happening is they're starting a new family at their home with a blended family, and they kind of need to get the millennials out and move on. And I've just never seen so much of this before.
Oh, my goodness, Marilyn.
Falling.
And are they helping, like, with security deposits and trying to get their kids set up in an apartment with you?
Oh, they will do everything. They will co-sign. They will pay for things. They will give them furniture. They will help them with things. But the problem that I see is once they step out, then I have a problem because they've been given too much and they haven't stood on their own two feet. So what I do is I will meet with the parents first and the child, but then I insist that he or she come back and meet with us alone.
Interesting.
That way I can say, you know, I can ask them questions and make sure they are going to be able to pay rent and utilities and be responsible in an apartment because they've been living with their parents.
That's interesting, Adam. I know it's just anecdotal, but here Marilyn, as a landlord, is seeing parents trying to set up their 25-year-old kids in an apartment. What about that?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Those certainly sound like parents who lean towards the spectrum of wanting to get their kids out of home versus the ones that are happy to have them around. I'm sure there's plenty of both groups around.
Yeah. Let's go to Patrick in Fond du Lac. Hello, Patrick.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
Hey, that kind of segued perfect right into my thing. You know, previous callers have mentioned, oh, we don't want to take a job beneath us because we want to be happy, and we don't want to live in a packed apartment with four other people because we want to be happy. Well, what about the parents' happiness? You know, when do they get to be happy?
And you think that they're not happy, the parents aren't happy if their millennial children are living with them, Patrick?
Well, you know, I'm not saying they're suicidal, but I'm saying that, you know, they've got plans, too, when those kids get out. You know, when I have to stop feeding this kid and paying for his insurance and doing this stuff, I want to go somewhere, and I want to, you know, have a vacation that I've dreamed of all my life.
Yeah. Well, will Patrick ever be able to take that vacation, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of the older millennials are going to be moving into their household years, and you know, as people age, they do tend to move out. So I think he'll get his break eventually. But you know, I'm sure in the meantime that there are others not like yeah. Patrick who are just glad to have them there and glad to have those have their children around for longer. But most people move out eventually, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have less than a minute to go. What is your takeaway from this Pew Research Center report?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's really interesting in the way that it looks at the long term. And it's easy to look at today's generation living at home with their parents as being some kind of, you know, extreme abnormality. But in terms of living at home, you know, this is not that different than how people used to do it in the 1930s and the 1920s. So it can be a little tempting to view each generation as being, you know, so startlingly different. But in this regard, it's not, they're not alone.
Thank you so much for being with us. Adam Ozimek is an economist and assistant director for Moody's Analytics. Thanks to producers Brianne Shasso, Nyasia Ellison, and Kai Brito. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.